Pastor Alex had asked me to take the service this morning, and so just want to extend honor and gratitude to Pastor Alex and Pastor Naomi for the opportunity to grace the pulpit and just to be a part of what God is doing here in this incredible church, in this incredible community. I don't know about you, but if you've been like me and you've lived in Vero Beach for quite some time, you know, just doing a lot of dirt, you know, basically contributing to the evil and the nonsense that was going on in the community, but now on the other side and being able to work alongside the King of Glory and impact and make positive change, eternal change. That's exciting. Amen. And so it's good to be here. I've got a word for you this morning, and I pray that it really just strengthens you, ministers to you. How many love the Psalms in the Bible? All right, 9 a.m., there was a lot more. Just saying. The Psalms are, man, they're so beautiful, you know, because you read through them, and these are real men and women of that like, it's raw, you know. I mean, it's just filled with emotions, you know. It's so personal, it's so intimate, you know. They just expose their heart, you know. They're just real with God. And how many know that there's a freedom in that? You know, there is such a freedom and a comfort in being able to just let all the walls down and just get real with God, you know? And so this morning, I want to take us to one of David's Psalms, and it's one of my favorites, Psalm 139. Many of you that have been walking with the Lord for quite some time be very, very familiar with it. But in this psalm, David really kind of sheds light on different aspects of God, but one in particular, and he talks about God's knowledge. And not only God's knowledge, but God's knowledge and awareness of us, our lives, in the most intimate and thorough way. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's not something to be fearful or scared about, but it really, really is. It is freeing. And so as we look through it, this morning, just ask you, Holy Spirit, just to lead the way. Lead the way as only you can. So in Psalm 139, there's this personal conversation that's taking place between David and God. It's, you know, this is one of the things I love about the Psalms, because it's almost like there's nobody else in the universe except for the person writing the Psalm and God. You know, it's like they're the only ones in the room, and it's just this beautiful conversation. And so in it, you know, David begins to acknowledge to God all the things that God knows about him. And so he says in Psalm 139, verse number 2, he says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar." David is acknowledging to God, say, God, you know everything about me. You know exactly where I'm going. You know exactly what I'm doing. Job 34 and 21, Job said something along the same lines. He says, for his eyes, in other words, God's eyes, are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. Church, God sees everything about us. He knows when I get up in the morning. He knows whether or not I made my wife coffee. He knows if I'm late to work or if I'm early. He knows what time I go to bed or if I stayed up late. He knows even my thoughts, our thoughts. He even knows the intent of that thought. Now, I know that's a little bit scary, but just follow me along here this morning. He knows everything that we are thinking and why we are thinking it. Look at what Mark in his gospel said, and Jesus said in this regard. Mark 12, 13 through 15. Then they sent to him, Jesus, some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, We know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. So then they ask him this question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? Well, this sounds all real good. You know, it's they're vocalizing, they're saying something. But it says that Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So Jesus was able to see past the surface of the words to see the motive that was behind what it is that they were saying. You see, us as human beings, I can say something to Miss Wendy over there and it sound all nice, but that have an underlining or an undertone or a motive that is different from what it may appear by the words that I'm saying. You see, I can fool maybe one of you, but I can't ever fool God. He sees right through me, through and through. Again, not freaky, but comforting. It's freeing. What does God know about us? David goes on in the psalm and he acknowledges God. He says, God, you comprehend, verse 3, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with some of my ways. All of my ways. Not just what I do on Sunday or Saturday night, but what I do all through the week. God, you're acquainted with all of my ways. That word way there in the Hebrew, it speaks of a road. It speaks of a path or a journey. And so what David is acknowledging to God, he's saying, God, you're acquainted. You know exactly the path that I am taking, the road that I'm traveling. Now, again, that should be comforting, but if you're on the wrong road, if you're on the wide road that leads to destruction, you know, the love of God is going to try to wrangle you in and bring you back into where you need to be. But it's awesome because God knows it all. Psalm 139, verse number 4, David says this. He says, for there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Every word that we say, and even the words, even before they come out of our mouth, God is fully aware of them. He knows it all. Hebrews 4 and 13 says this. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something that was very liberating to me in my walk with God when I was younger, because I would read this psalm and I would have this awareness that God knows everything. And so what it helped me with, and I pray that it helps you, is that I can go to God in prayer. And the shame and the guilt and the condemnation, I don't bring into the presence of God. I don't bring a facade, a fake smile. I don't try to appear to be something else. I don't try to use fancy words to try to pull one over on my God. But I'm able to come naked before God. Real as it gets, raw as it gets, whether I'm right or I'm wrong, I'm able to pour out my heart and what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing before God. And I believe that God appreciates that, because I'm not coming as some fake person, but I'm able to come before him and just, man, just be real. And that's that intimacy, that conversation. And if you don't have that with God, you need to get it. It's available. And it's available through the understanding and the acknowledgement that God already knows all the things. He knows what you said to that guy that cut you off on the way to church this morning. For real. David said something in verse number 6 that's really powerful. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. In other words, he's saying, God, the knowledge that you have of my whereabouts, my doings, even the words that come out of my mouth, God, that kind of knowledge, man, God, it far surpasses my ability. In other words, God, you know more about me than I know about myself. Now, some of you here, you guys know me to some extent. My wife and my children know me very, very well. They're with me all the time. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly. They know the new creation in Christ and then the old man that tries to get out of the grave. Come on, just being real. My mother and my father know me, being that they were the conduits that brought me into this world. But my Father in heaven knows me better than all of them put together. He knows us. How does that make you feel? You know, I mean, it's, you know, I talked to the first service. I says, you know, when you understand the knowledge that God has about you, it really brings two C's. One, it brings a conviction. And then the other, it brings a comfort. You know, it brings a conviction because when you become aware of the watchful eye of God upon your life, it should serve as kind of motivation that you want to make sure that you're living right, that you're going to the right places, that you're saying the right things, you're doing the right things, because you're going to be held accountable to God. How many know accountability is a good thing? So I want to ask you a question. Why is it that God thoroughly examines and sees and is aware of every single detail about our life? Why does he do that? Is it because God is wanting to control us? Like we're puppets or something? Is it because God is wanting to watch very closely to see every single mistake that you've made and find all of your faults? Why? So that he can punish you? Absolutely not. And I was thinking about this before, before the services, and I was thinking about my two daughters. And I was thinking about how, like, I'll just sit back and I'll watch them sometimes, you know? And I'll observe, and they're totally different. You know, Lillian is more like mom, and Kara's more like dad, you know? And I'll sit and I'll watch Lillian as she just buries herself in a book, you know, or does a puzzle on the floor. And it's like, man, it's she enjoys it so much. Now watch, I watch Kara as she just ransacks everything and watch her as, out of nowhere, you just hear this voice. I've got a high priest who prays for me. She just breaks out in song all the time. And as a father, I'm sitting and I'm watching my children. I see all of the details. I see what they're doing, where they're going, what they're saying. What is it doing to me? Man, I delight in that. It brings me incredible joy to be able to see and to watch my kids go through life. And I watch even when they make mistakes or they're going in the wrong direction, but it also brings me incredible delight that I can guide them on the path to help them to learn from their mistakes and to grow and to get better. It brings me incredible delight to share in raising them in the ways of God. So is God looking detailly, you know, thoroughly through our life to looking to punish us or to control us or anything like that? No, I believe God absolutely delights in us. He loves us without a doubt. But with that being said, I said that the first C that comes is really, it should come with a conviction. You know, having a knowledge that God is seeing everything that we're doing, you know, really, really, we should be able to look at that and say, okay, well, like, I can't do that. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm a Christian. I got to get better in this. I can't say what I used to say. I can't go where I used to go. I can't do the things that I used to do. You know, Paul said something to the church at Ephesus, you know, in regards to them being imitators of God. How many know that that's what we're called to do, is we're called to be imitators of God. We're called to allow the Holy Spirit to conform us into the image and likeness of Christ. Ephesians 5:3-4 says, he says to him, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You see, what we got to understand is that Every single one of us here in this sanctuary, we're held accountable to God one way or another. And what I mean by that is if you're here and you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is still accountable to God. You're going to have to give an account, not according to your sins, because you've already received and accepted the provision that God made for that. But the reality is this: if you're not acting right, you can miss out and have some unfulfilled promises in your life. If you start acting up, you can go through some unnecessary discipline of the Father. You get a butt whooping that you really didn't need to get. And then also, there's coming a day when we will stand in judgment, not for our sins, but we will stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, where there will be given rewards. And if we're not acting right, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing and things, then there's a possibility we could miss out on one of those wonderful crowns that God has instructed us that we can receive in glory. But you see, if you're also sitting here this morning and you have not committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not accepted the provision that God made for your sins, well, then your life also will be held accountable to God. And you will also go to a judgment, but it won't be the judgment seat of Christ. It will be the great white throne judgment. It's the place of judgment where you will be judged and held accountable for your sins. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, eternal death, and separation from God. It's a place that was not created for you, but you've been given a choice whether or not you'll receive the provision that washes you and cleanses you and makes you right in the eyes of God or not. And whatever decision you make, God is going to honor that. If you choose to reject Christ, he'll honor it. If you receive him with open arms, he's going to honor that as well. But no matter, every single one of us in here is going to be held accountable to God in one way or another. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Be careful of what we say out of our mouth. For it is out of the mouth confession is made. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Even in the context of that scripture there, he's talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Be careful talking about the work of God. Now, while accountability is really powerful, and accountability can be an incredible motivator in doing right things, there's something that's even greater, and that's love. Love is the greatest motivator. You want to get me on the right path? Just love the hell right out of me. Come on, just speaking real this morning. You see, I don't know about you, but there's an incredible comfort that comes when I'm able to know that nothing in my life escapes the attention of God. Nothing. Not one single thing in my life escapes the attention of God. Read what David said in another one of his psalms, Psalm number 8, verses 3 and 4. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" This is so beautiful, because what is David talking about? He's talking about creation. He's talking about the universe, the stars, you know, the heavens. And he's saying, God, in the midst of this vast creation, I'm like a grain of sand. I'm so tiny, but yet you're mindful of me. You're mindful of me. Try to wrap your head around that. You'll get a headache. I remember earlier in my walk with God, it was one night I was taking a walk. I was just praying and just wanted to just be alone with God. This was before I was married to my beautiful wife. And I'm at the boardwalk at JC Beach. And I'm walking, and then I sat down at one of the little boardwalk benches. And I'm just sitting there just meditating on God. And I looked up in the sky. And I begin to see the stars, and this is the scripture that came to mind. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like in awe. I'm like undone because I'm looking at the stars, and I'm seeing like how far they are. I can't reach them. Like, you know, there's such a great distance. Like, the galaxy is so vast, but yet here I am. And God, you're right here with me, and you know exactly what I'm going through in my life. You know exactly what I need. You are mindful of me, every part of me, right here in this very moment. Isn't that freeing? Doesn't that bring you an incredible comfort to know that no matter what you go through, God sees it? He's fully aware of every trial, every trouble, every test, in every single need. Jesus says, well, look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. He says, are you not of more valuable, or are you not more value than they? When we're worrying about our life, when we're worried about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and all of these things, God's saying, look at my creation. Don't I take care of them? Are you not much of more value than they? So there's no need to worry. There's no need to fret. Don't get stressed out. Don't lose all your hair. I got you. He's aware of it all. He even knows how many hairs or stubbles you have on your head. It's a personal and it's an intimate knowledge. And it ain't just about me, but it's about you. It's like David and God, the only people in the universe, but it's also like Scarlett and God, the only two people in the universe. It's beautiful. It's intimate. It's awesome. Another little story. I remember early in my walk with the Lord during the season where I found myself homeless. All I had was a little bit of clothes on my back, and I had a beach cruiser. And I'm driving around, you know, riding around, you know, Vero Beach. And, you know, it's tough being homeless, you know, because at night you got to find a place to lay your head. And so you go into the woods or wherever it is, I found myself at Moody Park. Those of you that are familiar with Vero, you'll know what I'm talking about. And at Moody Park, there's these little benches. And there was one particular bench that was right by a big old hedge. And I knew that if I positioned myself right there on that bench, nobody would really see me if they were driving around, like the police or somebody, you know. Like, I would probably be in a safe spot to be able to get a little bit of shut-eye. And so I remember, you know, parking the bike right next to the bench and putting my backpack behind my head and using it as a pillow. And I remember laying down there and I'm looking up in the sky. And I just became so aware that God, even though it was one of the most difficult times of my life, that God knew exactly where I was at. He knew exactly what I was going through. And that I knew that I was going to be absolutely okay. I had this assurance. I was able to rest in his love. And I'll never forget it, because my eyes are open and I'm looking at heaven, and I just said, my answer is still yes. Even when I'm homeless, I still love you. If I'm living on that side of the river, I love you. If I'm on this side of the tracks, I love you. If I'm on the mountaintop, if I'm in the valley, God, you're fully aware of exactly where I'm at. And God, I didn't serve you for things. I served you because you love me. Greater love has no man than this, than a lame man that would lay down his life for his friend. And so here's David in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8, and he says to God, he says, God, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, God, you're there. And all in between, I was looking over this, and I came across some commentaries and things that were telling about, like, in Hebrew literature and in their thought, they would see the two opposite extremes, like heaven and hell, up, down. They would include everything in between when they made statements like this. So when David is saying this, he's saying, God, not only is I can't get away from you up in heaven or in hell, but it's everywhere. In other words, God, there's no place that I can find myself in life that you are not with me. Every single place, you were with me. Think about this. They were in the fiery furnace. Guess who was with them? Daniel was in the lion's den, but was he alone? Israel was in the land of giants, but God was with them. There were famines all throughout the Old Testament, but even Isaac, he sowed in a famine and reaped, was not God with him? Sickbed, God was with him. Behind bars at Philippi, God was with him. Paul, a night and a day in the deep, shipwrecked on the island of Malta, but God was with him. Hallelujah. Come on, this should be exciting. John exiled to the island of Patmos all alone, but he wasn't all alone. Oh, hallelujah. God was with him and gave him an incredible revelation. Hallelujah. A riot broke out in Ephesus, but Paul wasn't alone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, church, where you're at, the season that you're in. You are never alone. God's presence dwells on the inside of you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. What a comfort. How freeing to know that we can walk through life without fear. Because not only is God's presence with us wherever we go, but he also leads us and upholds us. Verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 139 says, if I take up the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And I love this. You might look at this psalm and you might think that David is trying to hide from the presence of God, but I don't believe that this is David's thought in this. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. David was a pursuer of God's presence. He was after the heart of God. So he's not trying to hide from the presence of God. He's just acknowledging that, God, your presence is everywhere that I go, God, and I'm thankful, hallelujah, that I'm never alone. David, knowing that God's presence was always with him and that no matter where he was at, God was going to lead him. And that not only that, but God was going to uphold him by his right hand. The right hand of God speaks of power. It speaks of authority. It speaks of might. It speaks of security. David wasn't mad at God because God was watching over every detail. David felt loved. He felt secure. He felt safe. He felt protected and well cared for. Are we not well cared for by the God of heaven and earth? Hallelujah. And then we drop down to verses 17 and verses 18. David, I love these words. He said, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. That word precious in the Hebrew, it speaks of being prized, being treasured, being valued. What is in this intimate personal conversation that David is having with God, what is he saying? He's saying, God, I acknowledge and I've come to have somewhat of an understanding of your thoughts towards me and how you are aware of every single detail of my life and that you delight in me so much and you love me and you protect me and you provide for me. He said, those thoughts, God, I treasure, I value them. You see, I can value the words of my wife and her dear words of love and comfort that she speaks to me, but they are nothing in comparison to the words of God. Come on. The words of love from heaven will cause every hardened heart, every tough, rough around the edge man to melt like wax before the Lord. Will cause you to fall to your knees and cry like a baby. The sweet words of love that come from our daddy have the ability to forever change our lives. And David had this awareness of God's love for him. And he said he cherished them. And not only did he cherish them, he even acknowledged, God, they're so vast that I can't even count them. In other words, God, I'm always on your mind. But church, I want to tell you that you're not only on the mind of God, but you're in the heart of God. He's even written you on the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. He'll never forget. He said, can a sucking child or a mother forget her sucking child? She may, but I will never, because I've written you on the palm of my hand. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means you will forever be before the Lord. death and hell and destruction are before the Lord, so much more the hearts of the children of men. You all will always lay bare and naked before the Lord. God Almighty, He knows you through and through. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to just close with this, and it's so beautiful. Because David, he ends the psalm the same way that he started the psalm. And so you see in verse 1 of Psalm 139, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me." That word search, it means that you have put me under like an extreme examination. You've put me under a microscope. You've looked at every single aspect, front, back, inside, out. You know me all. You've searched me and you've known me. And what is he talking about? He's talking about everything up to that point. All the stuff in the past, every place that he went, everything that he did, every word that he said. He says, God, you know all of those things. But then he closes the psalm, verses 23 and 24, and he says this. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What is David saying? He said, God, you have searched me up to now, but right now, God, I want you to continue to search me. God, don't stop doing what you've been doing. Why? Why would David's heart cry out, God, search me now and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and 10 years down the road? Why would he say that? It's because David, he wanted his heart always to be right with God. God, put me under the microscope. Look me through and through and see, God, because if there's anything in my life that is hindering me from serving you and fulfilling the plans and the purposes that you have for my life. God, if there's anything in me, if there's anything in my heart, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God knows it. God absolutely knows it. And he searches our hearts. God, put your finger on that area and walk with me. God, put me in the emergency room and do some surgery on me. Open me up and take those things out. Why, God? Because I want to be a bride without blemish, without spot. I want a heart that's pure. I want pure heart and clean hands, God. God, I want you to be delighted in me. God, I want to continue to grow. That's the heart of David. And I just love this because you think about God wooing us. You think about how God reveals his goodness. He says, do you not know that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? The goodness of God in Christ woos us. It draws us to God. And then I look at David and some of his other psalms. I mean, they're so powerful. But this one, specifically, the intimacy that's in it, it's almost like God. It's almost like David is wooing God. I don't know if that's even biblical, you know, like, but what I'm saying is, like, you can see that like David's response, you can't tell me that doesn't move God. You can't tell me that you crying out, God, here I am. God, I humbly bow before you. I get as low as I can get. God, I'm here for the taking. I'm here for the looking. I'm here for the searching. Examine me, God. And then when you see something, I fully yield to you. Because I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to be fit for the master's use. Hallelujah. So that is my word to you today. You're here today and you know God. You've been walking with God. But I want you to know and understand that there is not a detail in your life that God is not fully aware of. You might be going through a difficult season right now. Things might be a little testy, might be a little stressful right now, but he is a very present help in the time of trouble. He knows every single need. And he's not a God that stands afar and just observes and looks. Because the Bible says that Jesus looked on Israel. He saw them as sheep. He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. You see, not only does God have an awareness of every detail of our life and every need, but when we are in need, God comes to the aid of his children. And if you don't believe me, go read Psalm 18, another one of my favorite ones. They're all my favorite. Psalm 18 talks about David crying out to God. I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. Or he said, I called out to the Lord. And then he said, I cried out to God. There's two different things. There's a call and there's a cry. You see, when your child comes to you and they call out, Daddy, Daddy, they're just trying to get my attention. And I'm like, okay, well, let me finish up with what I'm doing here. And then I'll come and I'll check on you and see what you need, boo-boo. But then there's a cry, Daddy! And you know something's wrong. You know that you know that there's a need. And you go and you read Psalm 18, and what do you find out? That God rent the heavens. David cried out to God. It says that his cry came to the ear of God, and God rent the heavens. He wrote a cloud and came to the aid. He said, he brought me out of many waters. That's our God. So I pray that the word of God has encouraged you this morning. You might be in a good season. God is with you. Season. Loves you. Delights in watching you thrive and impacting lives for his kingdom. You might be going through a tough season, but God sees it and he's with you. And he'll give you the grace to overcome, to endure, and to press forward. Be encouraged this morning, church. Will you just bow your heads? I want to pray for you guys. Father, God, it's just hard sometimes to just wrap our head around. And it is because it's got to be revealed. So even as I'm praying, Lord, I ask Holy Spirit that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and your heart and your love for us. And Holy Spirit, that you would quicken these scriptures to us, and because we want to know you, God. We want to know, how can David say that he prized and treasured your thoughts towards him if he didn't know those thoughts? God, show us how you feel about us. Open our eyes so that we can treasure them, that we can cling to them and hold them extremely valuable in the treasure vault of our hearts, God. For you did not say, Lord, for us to hide your word in our heart, and as a result, we would not sin against you. So I pray this morning, Father, for your children. And ask that you would encounter them, Lord. For this is what you want. You said that this is eternal life, that we might know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Life is about knowing you. David was a man that knew you. But I think that we even have a greater opportunity to know you because yet he had not yet seen the Messiah. He had not seen the full revelation of who you are. Philip says, well, show us the Father. Jesus says, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know the Father? But he that sees me sees the Father. God, we've got the full revelation, God, of who you are, God, when we see you, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking, Lord, that you open our eyes and our hearts, God, to your amazing love because you created us and we belong to you. You knit us together in our mother's womb. Truly, God, like David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and our souls know it right well. So I pray, Father, that as we close out this service, that your presence, Lord, would fill us and awaken us, God, to what Paul said in his letter to the church at Ephesus. He prayed that they would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the depth, the height and the length, and to know the love of God which surpasses all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is my prayer for us this morning. That by your spirit, by revelation and knowledge of your word, Father, that we would be able to comprehend, go to a greater dimension and level of your love for us. We bless your holy name, Father, as we depart. Just keep us, use us, get glory out of our lives. We thank you. It's in no other name but in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you guys for putting up with me this morning. Enjoyed being with you. Prayed that the Lord would just continue to minister to you. And if you guys have any needs, you would like prayer, we'll have some of the leaders up front. You guys can come and we'll pray for you. If not, we'll see you guys soon. God bless.